Here? No. Okay.
Thank God for technology. Hopefully they can, like, splice some of this out. Okay. At least I know how to get Rick's attention, right?
You do.
Thank you. Okay, so, geez. Okay, so I said, OA, no way. And she goes, you did OA? And I go, oh, yeah, for years. Anybody ever said that? Got no results, just gained weight? So she goes, well, what was your sponsor like? I go, well, I didn't have one of those. And she goes, well, what's your favorite part of the big book? I go, you mean the blue one? I go, I didn't have one of those. And she goes, she went through all of it. And she goes, sure, what makes you think you did OA? She goes, you didn't do OA. She goes, you did Sherry's Way. And she goes, Sherry's Way doesn't work. To this day, that woman swears I asked her to be my sponsor. And I swear to you, I never asked her to be my sponsor. But I did call her for an entire year at 7:15 every single morning. I'm telling you. So let me just see where we're at with time here. So I just want to tell you a couple of things. So with my abstinence, let's see. With my so it came time to set my abstinence, because see, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you start the steps drunk.
No.
You start the steps
sober.
Abstinent, right? Okay, you start the steps abstinent. You start the steps sober, okay? So we had to come up with an abstinence with me. And she goes, what do you want your abstinence to be? And I go, I don't know. I don't even know what abstinence is. And she goes, well, what is it? And she goes, well, some people do this or that. Or she goes, just pick something, you know. And I go, well, what's yours? And she goes, I do 3 meals a day with nothing in between and a floating fruit. And I go, a floating fruit? What is that, a thing on a string? And if you're lucky, you're able to grab a hold of it? And she goes, no. She goes, it's wherever in the day that you need it, you know. So it's like, but you only get it once. So like, if you're going to have dinner late at night and you need something to kind of hold you over till then that's your fruit. So I said, that's it? And she goes, yeah. And I go, you're telling me I can have anything I want, and as long as I do that, I'm abstinent? She goes, yeah. And I go, well, I can do that. And I go, you're telling me I can have a can of cashews for breakfast. I can have a pizza for lunch, and I can have a pasta for dinner, and I'm absent? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, really? And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And I did. Because she had so much faith in this program that if she could get me to do that, which I call, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty. Because, see, really, the sponsor's nothing but a babysitter till who takes over? Higher power. So she's doing here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty. And I'm following along. I'm doing all the steps. Here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty. And pretty soon, man, I'm hooking up to higher power. Right? And so pretty soon, when I choose to dispossess that crazy life, and I'm now hooked up to my higher power, it would seem weird to have a can of cashews for breakfast. It would seem weird to eat like that. When the food and the stuff and the way I used to eat, it just seems weird to me today. Weird, because I'm in my right mind. Okay? So I want to tell you, the desire will return, but the obsession doesn't have to. okay? Because we have the power of choice. And so that's how I started my abstinence. And so I grew into my abstinence. And my abstinence has changed and developed along the way, okay? So my abstinence is perfect with a very imperfect food plan. So if you've seen people in program that have been perfectly abstinent, like they say, I don't eat whatever, right? And they've put all their weight back on plus more. Have you seen that? Okay? So abstinence is nice, because remember, and we'll get in this tomorrow, because remember, abstinence used to be a tool. So I'm going to go into a lot of detail of this so you'll know why we got a little goofed up with all this kind of stuff. And we'll talk about the seething cauldron of debate that the word abstinence threw us into. But we'll save that for tomorrow. But so anyhow, so that was my starting abstinence, and we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow. But I wanted to share with you, like that's how it started. And so let's see. So let's talk about the first step. So, you know, she said, Sherry, so then it was time to start working on the steps. And so she said, Sherry, what's the first step? And I said, I admitted that I am powerless over food and that my life had become unmanageable. And she goes, wrong. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, that's not the first step. And I said, yes, it is. It's at all the meetings. And she goes, not at my meetings. And she goes, and I go, well, it's in the big book, because now I had one. And she goes, well, let's see. So sure enough, I pull it out, and it says, we admitted that we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. And she goes, do you know why that is? And I was like, no. And she goes, because I can't, but we can. Okay? So remember, whatever you ask for in prayer with God, He answers in physical form, right? So that when I was talking about, God, should I do OptiFast? Should I do the clinical trial thing? So help me, God. So help me, God. What should I do? Well, boom. Those two things was not where I was supposed to go. It was supposed to go back to OA. You're like, you're kidding me. What an incredible miracle in my life that was, right? And so He puts this woman in my life, and it totally changes my whole entire life. So step one. And so remember, 25 years ago, OA, we had no literature. All right? And so that in the last line, in the AA 12 and 12, it says, we stand ready to do anything to have this merciless obsession relieved. And she said, are you ready? I was afraid to tell her no, so I just said yes. And then in step two, it says that came to believe, and it doesn't even say we, me, you, it just says came to believe, just real vague, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, real vague, right? Not even a higher power. A power greater than ourselves. Like maybe a chair, right? We know this chair could hold me all night long. My legs couldn't do it. A power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It's like, wow, that's kind of interesting. But then in there, right, so these all these powerful verb action words, and it said, and then in the AA 12 and 12 it says, don't worry about yourself about this stuff, but work the rest of the program as enthusiastically as you can. So, interesting. So we're going to talk a lot about the steps and all of that this weekend. But I just wanted to share with you a little bit about, you know, my story and what happened. And well, I also have to tell you a couple of this stuff. Like, this looks great up here, right? Doesn't this look like she got the perfect life, right? Been married 21 years, got a fabulous marriage, got the greatest guy in the world. Just life is rocking, right? 60 years old, have the body I've always wanted, living the life I've always wanted, love my business, love everything about my life, okay? But back in the year, the Y2K year, okay, in January, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's to the point of she calls and says, Sherry, there's some men here, and they're trying to say that I owe them $10,000 for a repair, and I don't have any recollection of authorizing a repair or anything about it, and you know, this is a mean, strong, terrible woman. And the fact that she even called me was showed she was really in trouble. And so anyhow, this is a woman who knew about my incest and did nothing about it. I mean, she was a horrible, horrible woman. But you guys taught me and gave me the privilege to be a better daughter than she ever was a mother to me. So that was what happened in January. In February, my sister-in-law, and I'm very, very close with my husband's family, my sister-in-law dropped dead of a stroke. The third month, my father-in-law had a stroke. The fourth month, my house caught on fire. The fifth month, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. It was a misdiagnosis, but it put me, it opened a Pandora's box, and I had to prove to them through tests for years and years and years that I did not have ovarian cancer. And it was hell. Every month that year of 2000, horrible things happened. And I staked my claim of abstinence, and I said, God, you know what? If you want it tough, make it tough. I don't care. If you want it to get easy, let it get easy. Whatever you want, bring it on. I'm your girl. You've given me the best life because I've kept my eyes on you, and I'm not taking them off of you now. Whatever you want it to be, I know it's for the greater good of me and everybody else. So I just stuck my claim of abstinence, and I just planted that kind of like, those of you that are on a recording, just kind of like have a stick, and I'm just sticking it in the ground. And I was just, I'm going to stick her and stay her. I don't say, keep coming back. I go, stick and stay. Stick and stay. Because life is going to throw you some tough stuff. So do you think I lost my abstinence? You think I gained weight? Do you think I still worked out? Didn't work out. Had no time. Had to run her house. I had to run my house. I had so much things going on, but I didn't gain any weight. Do you think I hadn't kept my sponsees? Kept them. Did everything. But I couldn't speak as much. I couldn't work out, but still look like this. Okay? So life goes rolling along, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to fast forward to my life a little bit. So in the year 2008, I'm working, my business is jamming, I'm having a blast with my clients, a great time, and, you know, it's time for the annual mammogram. Isn't that fun, ladies? Jeez. So I go in, and I'm mad because I have to cancel my clients, an inconvenience for them, inconvenience for me. And so I go to my mammogram, and, you know, ladies are all so sweet, and I just like people, and I just connect, and, you know, I'm talking, and so then I leave, and I'm back, and so before I even get, you know, I'm home, and there's a message, and it's like, oh, Sherry, blah, 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 give us a call. This is what my head says. Oh, they probably want me to do a survey. Because you know, they're building a new thing, and they probably, you know, were doing a certain, you know how they always, you know. So I was like, okay. So I go on, and another call comes the next day, and oh, that's a survey. What's blah blah blah. And then a third call, finally two calls in a day, and it was like, Sherry, just call them back. And so I call them back, and she says, Sherry, I'm sorry, we didn't get clear films. We really need to see you, and we need to see you as soon as possible. But I didn't even have that feeling. I didn't even go, I was just like, oh, you know, if they had, this is my head, right? Would never say this to another person. But my head, my little fractured self says, oh, well, if they had done a better job, then I wouldn't have to cancel all my clients again and take 4 hours out of my damn, gosh, if they had done it. So I walk in, right? And the whole energy is entirely different. Everybody's very stoic. Instead of the same, you know, mammogram girls, now I've got a whole entire different team of stoic people, and it was just weird. So the bottom line of the whole thing is that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I went in for a lumpectomy, couldn't get clear margins, went into another lumpectomy, and I was part of the itty-bitty titty club. So after a few lumpectomies, it's like I was very, very mangled. They still couldn't get clear margins. And so WeSpark, which is a cancer support group, and they consider you to be recovered from cancer if you have like 5 years or, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry, recovery means to me, you're done for life, right? And so I'd see here they are 5-10 years later and they're back for the other breast. And it's like, so I'm looking at that and I'm like, I don't want to do this. And my husband's like, please let her go for the double, you know? But he's like letting me make my own decision. And so I thought, you know what? I don't want to be doing this ever again. So I just said, take them. But I had to, you know, when it's okay with me, it's okay with everybody. You know, so that's an important thing to learn. And so I had a double mastectomy with reconstruction. And I had complications like crazy, so I had a total of 8 surgeries. I had surgeries after surgeries. I kept working. I kept sponsoring. I kept doing the ABCs. I kept doing everything. And it was crazy. And so we had a trip planned to go to Hawaii. And it was just so hard. And the doctor said, look, we can't schedule your surgery. You might as well just go. And then when you come back, a week later, you'll have your surgery. You might as well go. So anyhow, you know how the sunsets are so beautiful in Hawaii. So we're in Hawaii, and so we're walking on the shore, and I'm just like walking. I'm just going, oh God, how am I going to do this? Because my head was like, well, LA's there, hospital and surgery is that way, and Tahiti's that way, and I'm a bolter. I'm a runner, right? You guys are the one who's taught me how to stay, right? Because my thing is, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I'm out of here. And it was like, God, I just could just go to Tahiti and just bolt. And how cool, no thought of eating. That just came to my head right now. Wow, no thought of eating. Just handle it, right? So I was like, God, how am I gonna do this? And I got this feeling, and it was like, I'm not going to leave you. I was like, what's that? You know, I'm not going to leave you. And so anyhow, now we're in the hotel, and we're walking through the lobby, and these two stores, you know, a dress store and, of course, a jewelry store was there. And it had always been closed, and it was open. And I said, oh, that store's open. And Tim goes, well, why don't you go in? So I go in, right? And so as I'm in the store, this girl turns to me, and you know, women always talk to each other when they shop. And she goes, which one do you like better? She's trying on two necklaces. And I go, oh, the bigger one. You're so statuesque and tall. I go, you have to go with the bigger one. And she goes, and I said, your dress is so adorable. She was wearing a strapless sundress. And she goes, oh, I never. Oh, she goes, you think so? She goes, I never dress like this. I go, why? It's so darling on you. She goes, oh, I had breast cancer and I feel this thing on the back of my head. Tell her. And it's like, no. And it's, tell her. And it's like, Sherry, you guys taught me this. Sherry to wear it. Right? It's like, God, you know, there's your gift. There's God in physical form. What are you going to do? And so I said, really? And I go, I just got diagnosed. She goes, really? She goes, where do you live? I go, Studio City. She goes, I live in North Hollywood, which is like a mile away. She goes, who's your doctor? And I told her. She goes, mine too. She goes, ask for the signature series. I go, what do you mean? She goes, come here, I'll show you. Let's go in the dressing room. So she turns to the sales lady behind the jewelry counter, and she goes, where's the dressing room? The lady goes, this is a jewelry store. So she goes, come over here. So she goes over to the corner, and she shows me her scar, and it was nothing. But on her, you take a little something, and it's not going to be a big deal because she's got a big deal. All right? So Anyhow, so she texts me and we've become very, and so she's my friend. So see, once again, God, what, when you need something, God will put that person in your life. Okay? But you gotta ask God. Gotta ask your higher power. Okay? And so, I don't say that I'm an obesity survivor. I'm an obesity thriver. That's what I want to help you with, if you're interested. I'm not an incest survivor. I'm an incest thriver. I'm not a cancer survivor. I'm a cancer thriver. I love my life. Like, bring it on. I love my life. I'm ready for more. I'm 60 years old. Okay? My mother-in-law, she passed away just a little over a year ago. Okay? And it just rocked our world. And then my father-in-law, he passed 5 months after her. I mean, we've had some hard times. Still look like this. Okay? Just like it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It works on the Salerno beachhead. You know, and so when I went through my cancer journey, my friends, I said to my friends, I go, you know what? I want to have a party. And I go, I want to call it thank you mammaries for the memories. And they go, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. I go, no. And they go, so anyhow, they gave me this party. But it was so cool. And it was the most wonderful thing. And then somebody else heard about that. And so a best-selling author, she goes, I want to interview you. I want to tell your story. And so I call it, you know, my choice was you either get bitter or you get better. Okay? And I call it choosing joy on your journey. But you know, when you give your story to somebody, they can call it whatever they want. And it's called, and it's in the Huffington Post in case you ever want to read it. It's like, I think October 2009 or October 2010. You'll see my name there if you want to read it. And, but she calls it something like something about habits. And it's like, I don't believe in good habits. I only believe in bad habits. So I just, in case you read it, I've not, you know, like, does anybody have a habit of eating broccoli? Yes. You have a habit of eating broccoli? It's a habit, you're habitual about it.
Yeah.
You're, I gotta get this on tape. Is this on? Is this on? Okay. I said, is anybody addicted? Does anybody have a habit of eating broccoli? Here's the broccoli chick.
I don't know if it's called addicted, but
it's a habit.
It is a habit, yes. We've been eating broccoli almost every single day since 2000.
Okay. If I took broccoli away from you, would it be uncomfortable?
Yeah, because it's a big part of my food plan for dinner.
Well, isn't that nice? Okay. Now check this out, okay? This is really important to know. I lost 100 pounds. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I lost 100 pounds eating chicken and broccoli. I hate
chicken.
Okay? She loves broccoli. Do you like chicken?
Yeah.
Okay. Is she doing it right and I'm doing it wrong?
No.
Am I doing it right and she's doing it wrong?
No.
So what are we doing? Okay, she's honoring her truth. She's honoring a program that works for her because she can do that the rest of her life. I'm doing a program that works for me. And if we don't start honoring ourselves and stop canceling ourselves out, we'll never be able to peacefully coexist with that, with our addiction. So thank you for that. I'll never forget a habit of eating broccoli. Woohoo! That's a first. Loved hearing that. Okay, great. We're going to, we're going to go ahead and set our intentions for the weekend. Let's see, where's my form? And who wants to help kind of pass these out? Great. And who wants to... Great. Great. Thanks so much. Are you helping? You're up, so I'm just... Thanks so much. Thanks. Is Susan in here? Susan. Did you get the candles from Tim?
No.
Did he give you anything?
No.
Okay.
He's frustrated because he can't find a place to park, so I think
okay, is
candles?
Yeah, it'd be good if he had the candles. Can you call him on the phone?
Sure.
818.
Got it?
Yeah. 818-456 7836. Ask him if he got the candle. And I could really use some water if he got the water.
And he did get water.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So 818-456 7710.
And just say you could run to the room and get her. He could bring in it, whatever. Just if you could get it.
We have a couple of people that didn't get it.
Oh, somebody check with someone else then. No, this is one for me.
One from her.
Okay.
But I think he put stuff in the room. So if you give me your key, I can go see if it's in there.
He's probably in there, and I don't want you to... can you knock on the door?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, okay, great. See her.
Okay.
They've got them all. And then, Rick, when we pause like this, are you going to edit this out of here, or should I stop this every time we do it?
We should probably pause it.
So I'll when I do it, can I just go like that, and then you'll know how to do it so I don't have to? It's hard enough to think about.
I know. Okay. So anyways, this little guy here.
Because I'll go like this. I'll just wave to you.
Yeah, I'll just make sure. Get in here. Okay.
Okay. Okay, we're going to do a couple of things first. This is, I'd like you to write on the back of this since we do have some time. And, you know, so many times... So many dreams die on fear, and I think it's really important that when we do our four steps, a lot of times, listen to this. Every time that you're introduced to your next greatest desire, you're introduced to your next greatest fear. And there's this thing in program that people think that once they're here, they're never going to have fear again. And that's not how it is. So it's like, if you fall in love, you're going to think, oh my gosh, is he going to love me back? Is she going to love me back? Is it going to last forever? If you get a new job, you're going to think, well, are they going to like me? Are they going to fire me? Are going to this or that? You get a new car, you're going to think about, oh my gosh, is somebody going to ding it? Okay? So you're always in that contrast of... Right? So you've got the win, but every time you get the win or every time you get something, you're always going to come up against that next greatest fear. All right? And so I just want to, we're going to do a little exercise before we go into setting our intentions. And, so just listen to this. And so we can kind of get a little deep for the weekend. And so this is on page 68 from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper. Even though we had no resentment in connection with them, we asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for now we are on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. And this is the promise about fear. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. So you can either have fear chase you and seek power in the powerless, i.e. the circular thinking that will eventually take us face down in the food, right? But if we stop and we do this simple thing, we ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be, at once we commence to outgrow fear. And so remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the choice to face the fear. So I think it's good at the start of this today is to really, let's just do a very small fear inventory. So just kind of make a list of some of the fears that really are up in your life, or maybe some of the fears that you've never really confronted, because sometimes they're so part of our lives that we really haven't looked at it. We haven't really, we haven't dug deep for a while. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes now, and we'll just take a few minutes and just write that. Okay, did anybody come up with a fear that it's like, wow, I really haven't thought about that one in a while, or it's good to come to that it came to the surface? Did anybody come up with, did anything come to the surface for you? Let me get my mic out here. Will you share with us? Here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had a fear of lack of love and intimacy, but at the same time, a fear of real love and intimacy. Conflicting fears.
Mm-hmm. Good. What part of that? What part is the worst part for you? Picking up a smaller brush stroke,
maybe,
right?
Maybe having it.
Having it.
Because it's so unfamiliar.
It would be nice to live loved, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know how a lot of times in you hear, you know, like, this is what I had heard so much, like, you know, in therapy, I had gone to therapy for years, and I'd say, well, when am I going to lose my weight? And they'd say, oh, sure, you know, when we figure out what's eating you, you'll lose your weight. And I was like, oh, great. Wrote her another check, right? And so, you know, in therapy, I had heard. Now, this is my experience. So I'm not speaking for anybody. I know therapy has helped a lot of people. Unfortunately for me, it never helped me. Okay? So then in therapy, they would say, you can't love anybody until you love yourself. I could never get to, I love me, I love me, I love me. Okay, this is what I found, this is what I discovered in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. When I give love, I get love. Okay? Now, does anybody have a cat, a dog, a bird, a fish, a horse, a cow? Okay? When you got your cow, your horse, your camel, your fish, your dog, did they just love you? No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't.
They thought you were like, what's she want? Okay, and what'd you do?
Love,
you gave them love, 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 love. Okay, you love, 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 and love them. And then they gave you what? Okay, so that's the secret to love, in my opinion. You want love? Give love. Okay? It says on page 118 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, don't think about what you can get out of a situation. Think of what you can bring. Okay? And so that's the flip side of that to me, is like, that's to me how you get love. You want love? You want anything? Bring it. You want to feel good? Do good. You want high self-esteem? Take esteemly action. You know, take the focus off yourself and go in and bring a smile to somebody else. When you're nervous and you're alone and you feel all creeped out, walk in and go, hey, how you doing? I don't care how scared you are. Walk in like I did tonight. Think I was scared?
Yes.
Think I felt creeped out about me being late? Man, I'm late. I don't like being late. I like to be on time. I like to meet and greet everybody here and get comfortable and ease on in. I just, you guys are all sitting here, starting. It's like whatever, you know. It's just come on in and make it work. So anybody else? Let's go ahead and share some fears. It's important to share fears. What else? Who else? Here you go.
I have a fear of actually losing all my weight.
Because.
The fat which was insulating me from intimacy is gone.
Okay. So, that's a normal fear, right? Okay, so if you're in a split mind, which I call the fractured self, which our addiction grows up and out of, right? And so for me, like, I look at it like this. Like, I fractured off, like, this part of me. I won't let you come near. I won't let anybody goes near, but food will take care of it. This little kid, that's all she ever had was food. Every adult, every authority person, they didn't want to hear from Sherry. They didn't want to take care of her. Her mother said to her, get out of here. Go play on the freeway. Don't ever have kids. They're ruining your life. Get out of here. Well, you hear that enough times from anybody, and you're going to turn in on yourself along with the incest and everybody else. And just because that's my story, you get somebody to, we can turn an addict out of anybody by denying them their feelings and just making them feel so bad. Okay? So I believe that we fracture out. Okay, that's what happens. Okay, and then there's other parts of me that I'll share with God and people, and that part of me is not fractured. Okay, so this is the one, this fractured self has that mindset that says just that. That says just that, and it says what to you? Say it again.
I forget.
Huh? Might not be her reality, okay? If I lose all the weight.
If I lose all the weight, then I won't.
Okay. Now, can you see how a little kid would say that? Okay? And so what I say, okay, now this is my own philosophy. I'm not a spokesperson for OA. Take what you want. Leave the rest. This is my experience, my strength, my hope. This is what I've spent a lifetime developing and hope to bring to others and so that you guys can escape like I have, because I can't stand anybody who, when I see people exchange one prison for another, I just go, no, because you can't, it's not going to last. It's like, so I dedicate my life to this. Okay. So I say that when I, like the little kid, right, she was surrounded by, not by God, right, but by authority figures. So her world is them, right? So my acronym for them is thoughts having emotional mantras. So the little kid, so now we grow up, and Sherry has these emotional mantras that says, I won't be safe without the food, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so check this out. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 26 in the doctor's opinion, which is what, XXVI? Okay, it says, unless the alcoholic can again begin to feel the peace and ease with a few drinks which he sees others... I should just read it. Sean, jeez. Blah, blah, blah. I know, but I might as well get. If it's on tape, I don't want to embarrass away. I don't want to make fools. Everybody. Okay. So, okay, here we go. Okay. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. That's in the doctor's opinion, page 26, XXVI. So, that is why so many of us can only stay at that healthy body weight for 5 minutes. Okay? Because we're still in that fractured self. So I'm going to talk to you a lot about that weekend, this weekend, on how to get back to our whole self. So that chatter in your head, that's coming from that little kid, that fractured self. Does that make sense? Okay? So that is, I'm going to show you how to dispossess that, and so that you can take care of her and subordinate her so that it will be God, what's your name?
Lori.
God, Lori, and little Lori. Because right now, it's little Lori, rendering God unhearable. Muted God, right? Okay, so every time, if life scares you enough, right, I can be like this, God, Sherry, little fractured Sherry, it's my job to subordinate her, right? Because God never moves. I get scared enough. I can go flip side, and then it's like Sherry, little Sherry, and rendering God unhearable because I get so scared. Does that make sense? Yes? Kind of?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Someone else wanted to share here. Here, Brenda.
Fear of being overwhelmed and not being honest with myself. Fear of being out of control. And fear of denying my codependent addiction.
Okay, which one are you the most afraid of being? What's the one you're most afraid of?
Codependent addiction.
Okay.
I'm suffering with another codependent.
Put down the big broad brushstroke. What's the one piece of that's the hardest for you to deal with?
Confronting him.
Telling him, and you don't have to say it here if it's too personal.
About how I feel.
Okay.
And that I don't feel accepted. And I don't feel loved.
Yay! See the difference? See the difference how she can get to the core when she puts down that big broad brushstroke and she gets to it? Because at first it was like, I don't know. But she knows in her heart she can no longer cancel that out, or she's doomed to what?
Fail.
She's doomed to eat because she can't shove it down anymore. She's got to give it a voice. And I promise you, when it's okay with you, it's going to be okay with everyone. All right? And I will help you with that this weekend. Okay? Anyone else? Got time for one more. Yeah.
I fear that God will not hear me. Does not help me.
Okay. Excellent. So, would you say that is her healthy, happy, whole self recovered? Would you say that's that little kid, that little fractured self that never knew God? And it sounds like she's picking up on the THEM, thoughts having emotional mantras, because no one was ever there for her. So why would they be there now, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And so when, I don't know why, I've got two microphones here now. Jeez. Sorry. You guys on tape, thank you for your patience. So when I started working program with my sponsor, I was like, oh, hurry up with this step 1, 2, 3 stuff. Let's get to the 4 step. You know, I already believe in God, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Sherry, we're not after belief. We're after reliance. Okay? Do you know what the difference between belief and reliance is? What? Let me get my microphone. I'm just going to keep carrying this one. What's the difference between belief and microphone? belief. What's the difference between belief and microphone?
I don't know. Belief is a thought.
Okay.
And would you say the reliance is? That's it. I mean, you're not alone.
Okay.
Somebody's right there with you. I mean, God's right there.
Okay.
Whether you're connecting, not connecting, whether you've got cancer or not.
Okay.
Here's
the best definition I ever heard, and I'm sure that you guys will never, ever forget this. This is belief. Belief is believing Evel Knievel can jump the Grand Canyon. Faith is getting on the back of the bike. Okay? Back of the bike. And you know what? There's some simple exercises that we can do. So if you're interested in more of that, we can set up little tiny exercises. And I have one ongoing right now because I like to do these fun little exercises where I'm literally just getting on the back of the bike, because however it turns out, it doesn't matter, because I want to watch God evolve that way in my life. Okay? And so I believe a relationship with God is a two-way street. I believe, I think it's really great that Bill Wilson had a great spiritual experience. Most of us, like it says, we're the garden variety. It's a spiritual awakening. It's a dimmer switch. And I believe with the God thing, it's pretty much, here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty. You know, and it's like, okay, God, that was cool. Okay. Okay, we'll do another one. Okay, that worked. So, little here, little here, little things. And so, don't try and take big, giant steps with that. I want to tell you something. My girlfriends and I were talking one time, and she said, she goes, Sherry, where's our husbands? And I go, I don't know. And I never really wanted to get married or any of that, you know. And I was a businesswoman, you know. I was having a great, great life, you know. But then, of course, you know, I have to meet all you guys. And then I learn about love and life. And it's like, maybe I want to get married. You know, maybe I want to live love. Maybe I want to experience that. And so she goes, well, where do you think our husbands are? How come we haven't met our husbands? And I go, I don't know. I go, where do you think? She goes, well, maybe they died in Vietnam, you know. I don't know. So I said, and you know, I always dated. I always had a great time. Even though I was fat, you know, I like guys, I have fun, I have no problem with it. And so anyhow, my life was looking good, and I was looking a lot more like this than I did in my pictures, but really nothing like this. And so I said a prayer. I said, God, you know what? This is my surrender prayer, not to be confused with a serenity prayer. And I said, God, if you want me to get married, let me get married. If you don't want me to get married, don't let me get married. But place in me your will and give me the power and the courage to carry it out. And guess what? 2 weeks later, I met my husband. Okay? I say this for everything. This is Sherry Maher's surrender prayer, not to be confused with a serenity prayer.
Okay.
God, if you want me to have blank, let me have blank. If you don't want me to have blank, then don't let me have blank. I have to say it again. God, if you want me to get married, let me get married. If you don't want me to get married, don't let me get married. But place in me your will. It's hard to say it without the story. But place in me your will and give me the power and courage to carry it out. I think I said it right. Right. If I said it wrong, email me at Sherry, Cherie, at abcsofabstinence.com. That's ABS. Oh, it's on there. Good. Oh, good. My contact information on the form. Good, good, good. Okay, so, and then because I have all those prayers written down, okay? So anyhow, I met my husband 2 weeks later. Okay, but here's the thing. You must practice non-judgment. So check this out. He didn't look like Mr. GQ. Okay? He had a dent in his car. He had a wrinkled shirt on. He had, you know, it wasn't like, you know how, remember the books? I don't even know if they still make a list of the guy, yada, yada. Yeah, it's so dumb. That's so stupid. You know, I don't, you know, look, if you're in this room, your picker is way off, okay? Right? Right? Let's let God put the people in our life that we need, you know? It's like, let God put the people in our life that we need. So anyhow, I don't know what that had to do with anything. Now I've lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Okay, all right, that's all we care about. So, okay, well, somehow we were talking about those fears. I wanted to, we were talking about something. I wanted to share it, finish. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. Let me go back to the fourth step in the big book here. I just want to read this to you, and then we'll move on. Okay. Okay, check this out. It says, this, and I just read this to you from page 68, so I'm just going to jump back into it. And it says, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. So the finite self, what does finite mean? It's not going to last, right? Okay? So remember, our physical bodies are not going to last. The fat part of us is not going to last. The bulimic part of us is not going to last. The anorexic part, whatever, because, you know, it's like, you know, I can only speak from my own experience, strength, and hope, and so I want to be inclusive, not exclusive, and so I know I can't, you know, put enough in here about for bulimics and anorexics, but I, you know, I do want to, you know, pepper it enough with that, because I don't want to leave anybody out, but, so it says, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. And so, we, you know, it's like that whole thing where we think, oh, I'm going to die if I don't have that, if I don't eat that. Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you, I want to teach you this weekend, you are going to die. Don't you want to die to that false self? So let's bring it on. You know, it's like we want to shed that dead weight. We don't want to drag that around anymore. And ask me about, you know, how I thought I was going to, if I forget to tell you that story tomorrow, it's like I thought I was going to die, and I wanted to die. And I let go of that, and I was never the same. I didn't have to eat the whole plate anymore. And then it says, we are in the world to play the role he assigns. How do you feel about that? When I say that to you, we're in the role to play the world he assigns. Does anybody feel negative when I say that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, where are you? Okay, tell me your feeling.
Well, what comes up for me is I feel like, well, I don't have any choice. Somebody else is going to make the choice for me.
Okay.
So there goes my free will.
Okay. What a drag, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking what comes to mind is my job. I don't like my job, and I just feel like, well, it's too late. You just got to stick it out, you know.
What a drag, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so check this out. If I open this door here, which I'm really tempted to do just to get this really fresh air. Okay, check this out. All right, now this is a job that she picked. Can I do that? Will this go up? Okay, sorry you guys are on tape, but we're opening the door. All right, look. See this blade of grass out here? This blade of grass does not look out to Lake Tahoe and go, gee, I wish I was water. Okay? Do you see this little pine cone right here from the pine tree? The pine tree, this pine cone doesn't look at the blade of grass and go, gee, I wish I was a blade of grass. Okay? So you got your thinking backwards. If you grow into who God wants you to be, you will be so happy with who you are. But you have to stop with the THEM, with the fractured self that looks around and says, oh, I'm not of this, I'm not of that. Okay? Because you'll never see an orange tree look up at an avocado tree and go, guy, there's something wrong with me. I'm not growing an avocado. I have these oranges. Right? Okay, so we're a little skewed with that. So we really want to grow into who we're supposed to be. And does that make sense? Just to kind of flip your thought around on that, because you're feeling stuck with that instead of embracing what do I want and who am I supposed to be? All right, so we're going to go and I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to go ahead and set our intentions. Let's see. Susan, you carried some stuff in for me. Where are you? Oh, she's not even. Do you have my folders?
I put it all on the table right here.
Oh, it's covered. Okay. It's covered right here. Okay. Can somebody open these for me and put that on this tray? Open all of those. The perfect you. Again, nothing you do or think or wish or make is necessary to establish your worth. You are a child of God. You were created in a blinding flash of creativity, a primal thought when God extended himself in love. Everything you've added on since is useless. When Michelangelo was asked how he created a piece of sculpture, he answered that the statue already existed within the marble. God himself had created the Pieta, the David, the Moses. Michelangelo's job, as he saw it, was to get rid of the excess marble that surrounded God's creation. So it is with you. The perfect you isn't something you need to create, because God already created it. The perfect you is the love within you. Your job is to allow the Holy Spirit to remove the fearful thinking that surrounds the perfect self, just as excess marble surrounded Michelangelo's perfect statue.
Wow.
It's very important that you become you. Okay? And so when we take our fractured selves back into our seat of power, and we plant ourselves in the same stuff that makes those trees grow, that makes that ocean stay so clear, I mean that lake so clear, we're living on the same stuff that makes oranges grow on a tree that we can pluck and eat. Isn't that wild? Okay, that's what we want to do. And so that thinking, we're going to erase that. So God, heal and guide my perception. I know there's got to be a better way to look at this. So help me, God. You know how, like I was raised like this. So help me, God. Flip it around and go, so help me, God. So help me, God. Please heal and guide my perception. I know there's got to be a better way to look at this. Okay, let's go ahead and start now with this is setting your intention for the weekend. Now I want you to go ahead and you're going to, I'm going to just read this so I can get it on recording, but you're going to go ahead and do this at your own pace, and then when you're done, we're going to go ahead and break into small groups, and we'll have some group sharing on it, and so you're going to go ahead and start, and I'm just going to read this, so go ahead. Setting your intention for the weekend. It is helpful if you decide what you want from this weekend in advance before we begin. What do you want to get out of this weekend? What do you hope this experience will bring to your recovery and to your life? What are the fundamental changes you want to make? What do you want to be released from? At the end of this event, what is the story you want to be able to describe? When you're writing this, describe it in past tense. Write down in as much detail as you can how you would like to feel on Sunday as a result of attending the ABCs of Abstinence Retreat. Write it all in the past tense as if it has already happened. Write down 5 affirmations for your weekend. Some examples of affirmations could be, This retreat easily and effortlessly brings me more fully into contact with myself and my higher power. This retreat easily and effortlessly opens my heart. This retreat easily and effortlessly helps me to keep sober with my food. This retreat easily and effortlessly helps me to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight and perfect abstinence for life. This retreat is joyful and refreshing. This retreat has easily and effortlessly helped me to move more fully into my body and my relationship with my higher power. Each night and morning, review what you have written. Trust that you will get out of this weekend exactly what you want to get out of it. This weekend will have as much value in your life as you decide to give it. What you focus on expands. What you take your focus off withers and dies. Big Book, page 451, 3rd edition. If I focus on a problem, the problem increases. If I focus on the answer increases. Big Book, page 449, 3rd edition. When I stopped living in the problem and began living in the answer, the problem went away. From that moment on, I have not had a single compulsion to drink. And go ahead and continue filling out the form. Okay, great. I wish we had time to share on setting our intentions for the weekend, but it's been really wonderful to kick off this night with you and to be with you. And I want to just share with you to close out our first night is, you know, when I had first lost my first 20 pounds, and I didn't use the tool of a food plan yet, because I was too early in my abstinence. You know, I could lose weight just being abstinent. I lost 20 pounds with that abstinence I was telling you about. And I want to share with you, this is how I felt. This is from page 152 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the middle of the first paragraph it begins. Someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. We have shown how we have got out from under. You say, yes, I am willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without food, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Overeaters Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, high and low, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. Great, thank you. We'll all stand and join me and with the serenity prayer.
Hold on to the chair and grab her hand.
Okay, good, good. Hold on to me.
Gimpy warning.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Are you? I have a hard time hearing you, and I'm sitting up.
Oh, you are? Okay. Then.
Sure. Just sitting in your lamp. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we can turn it, or maybe sit on the other side of the room where the speaker is.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we all squished together here? Who's never missed a meeting? Who's never missed a meeting? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it. All right.
Working.
Good night.
So
see you tomorrow.
So if I email you, you're going to give me the that little prayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I needed, the shot.
Yeah.
You gave me the shot that I needed.
Absolutely. Let me turn this off. Hold on.
70 years old.
Oh, you rocking it, girl.
I have an incurable cancer.
Oh, wait. Don't tell. Let me get him to turn this off. Rick!
You know, I saw her.
Wait, let me turn this off. Hold on.
Just a quick announcement. Everyone.
Thank you.
Registered late.